Good morning, church, once again. We continue looking at the great expectation of Jesus in the Old Testament. This morning we turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And we shall consider him as the coming King. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll read one verse.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 11.
We'll preach it in context, but we're just going to read one verse, verse
6.
Isaiah chapter 9.
Isaiah chapter 9.
It reads as following. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. I'm continuing verse 7. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The Lord bless the reading of his word. All the kings of the past had failed God. Even the current kings had failed God. One after another, they sinned. Even those who led God's people well, they were not a perfect people, they were sinners. And we have realized last week that Isaiah lived in the midst of a king who failed God. A faithless king. A king who could not govern properly. A king who finally brought God's people under judgment. A king who disregarded God's word and trusted unto men. However, God had a plan. His plan was still unfolding. And today he brings out here in chapter number 9 that his plan continues to unfold. God had promised to bring a child who will be born into this world. A child who will govern or rule under God's providence. A child who will govern properly. A child who will not take counsel from any man, but he will give divine counsel to those who will belong to his kingdom. And we have seen last week, the child was revealed. His name is Jesus Christ, the coming Emmanuel. He was revealed hundreds of years before he was born. What a mystery, what a marvelous promise God brought to pass. This morning we're going to look at him and consider him that he was a coming king. He was coming to lead his people out of their misery. He was coming to rule over them and have dominion over them. A king who could not and cannot be compared to any king ever lived or any king that is coming to live. In our understanding of death will help us worship Jesus truthfully. It will help and encourage us to see His love and His particular purpose in each and every one of us lives. Then we will give Him our hearts, we will give Him our souls, over and over again. On daily basis, we will come bow at the feet of the cross. On daily basis, we will lift up our hands and our hearts unto Him, knowing that He is a King who rules forever and He rules victoriously. Friends, God was about to send this king simply because God's people cannot be led by irresponsible men.
And
each and every time God proves that His people cannot be led by irresponsible men. How does He prove that? Even in the church today, He gives us leaders who will be responsible and be willing to lead in accordance to God's will and accordance to God's ways.
And when
the leadership of this world fails, God removes them. He removes them. And Isaiah says, yeah, He will come then in humility. He will not come in the spirit of worldly kings who love to boast about everything, but He will come as a lowly king coming to rule His people. The beginning of verse 6 tells us that He will come as a son. He will come as a child given unto us. He will come as a king after God's own heart, not a king after people's hearts. Not a leader who will love to please men more than he will please God, but a leader who will please God regardless of how men feels about him. Teaching his people that he would rather please God than please the world. He will not come as a king after people's own sinful desires, but God's righteousness. There are two facts I want us to consider this morning, two facts about this coming king. Firstly, His glorious reign. Verse number 6 tells us, the government shall be upon His shoulders. Think of a people in great distress. Think of a people who does not have a king. People hearing these words. These are words of comfort to God's people. They were at the brink of being governed by a foreign king. I mentioned that last week. They were at the brink of being governed by a foreign king. And currently, they are governed by a faithless king who does not honor God. There was panic throughout the land. But what does God do when there is panic in the land? He promised change on top. He wouldn't help much to change the people. There has to be change on top. The leadership has to change. The powers of this world had failed God. Now infinite power is coming down from heaven to lead his people. God's will is about to be done on earth as it is in heaven. A great anticipation. In great humility will come to be nursed by a woman he created. Can you imagine that? A sinful woman. A poor woman, friends. He will come and depend on her for milk and nourishment. But most importantly, he will grow before God in righteousness and holiness. He will put his life as a great example of the people who will be the inhabitants of his kingdom. And he will gather those who believe in him into a kingdom, a marvelous kingdom of God. He will rule them with truth and grace. So Isaiah says a king is coming into this world, but this king is not of this world. He's coming to rule over God's people. At his coming, the people can expect God's kingdom to be ushered in and a king to sit on a throne. And as we looked at the Gospel of Matthew, the Bible tells us that the king has come. This is written 700 years or so before the coming of Jesus, that the king was coming, and Matthew writes 700 years later from there and says the king has come, because Jesus Christ says, I am the one who has to come into the world. What is the blessing in this, friends? God, the King of Heaven, the one enthroned above, came down to dwell among his people. He came to establish a kingdom through the preaching of the gospel. And now we are the people of the kingdom of God, a people who are the blessed of God, those who are poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are pure of heart, those who are perfect examples in this world, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because of this king, we are now peacemakers with him. Because of this king, we are gathering people to join us to be in this kingdom. He says here, he will rule like no other king. He will rule with patience and steadfast love. He will rule as God will rule. He will rule with fairness and long suffering towards the weak. But above all, he says, the government shall be upon his shoulders above all. It means that he will manage all the affairs of his people himself. He will lead his people to great prosperity. Nothing will happen to his people without his approval. Nothing will happen to his people without his knowledge. And unlike other kings, he will allow all kinds and form of people as inhabitants of his kingdom. Please note that. Normally in this world, a Swazi king ruled the Swazis. A Zulu king rules the Zulus. The Chichewa king ruled the Chewas. But this king, the one who is coming, the one who was coming, let me put it that way. He was a king who will come in this world and allow all kinds and all form of people unto his kingdom. He will bring them unto his kingdom by the blood of his cross. He will ransom people for God from every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. He will make them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth with him. That is the one who was to come. Listen to verse number 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it. Not just to establish it, friends, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forevermore. He is coming. So what was greatly anticipated, dear friend, was a righteous kingdom. A righteous government. An incorruptible government. A government not voted in by sinful men, carried up by their sinful desires. A government that will come in and take its rightful place, beginning from the heart of man. A government who will come and reconcile man to God. Governments of these days separate men from God. But there is a government. There is a king who brings a people together and brings those people to God. The Bible tells us that his kingdom will be an increasing kingdom. It says, at the increase of his government, it will be an increasing kingdom. Not such a kingdom of the as the kingdom of the kings who walk in this world. Kings who walk in this world, they establish kingdoms and they perish, and their kingdoms came to an end. The kingdom of Egypt is nowhere to be found. The Persian kingdom is nowhere to be found. The Babylonian kingdom is nowhere to be found. The Roman kingdom is nowhere to be found. But there is a kingdom. And King Jesus is the king of that kingdom. King Jesus is a king who rules and reigns marvelously. Yes, Daniel explained. We read it before. I'll just quote for you. In Daniel chapter number 2, he is telling us that his kingdom will gradually and fill the earth. It will grow gradually and fill the earth. What we realize here, friends, that the government who was to come was a government who will come and rule and uproot sin in the land. A government that will come and put away injustice. A government that will come and put away the sins and the wickedness of this world. Because friends, sin is that great enemy. Sin is that problem which had separated God and man.
The
government shall be upon his shoulders. He will bear the responsibility of the increase and the entrance. Please notice, he will bear the responsibility of the increase and the entrance to that kingdom. No one will be part of the kingdom unless he makes sure that he knows about the person who becomes part of this kingdom. He will carry upon himself every task there is in that kingdom. He will not give to men to save anybody in the kingdom. He will do it himself. And every knee shall bow to him. Every tongue will confess him King of Glory. Oh, friends, it is true that in this world today, just for a little while, the governments of this world, they act as though they are invincible. But soon and very soon they shall fall under the bus. Sometimes you may look around and see the things that are happening and think that the devil is in control, but let me tell you, friend, Jesus is in control. He may be allowing the devil to reign havoc in your life. He may be allowing the devil to reign havoc in this world. But he is in control. He knows the end of everything. And he will bring that havoc unto the end. So, do not despair. Do not lose heart. Do not give up. He is in control. What is in control today is not the dollar versus the rent, or the rent versus the euro. It is Jesus. What is in control today is not President Zuma or President Trump. Jesus is in control. He's the one who reigns. He's the one who saves his elect, and he will bring them to an eternal kingdom. But at the end, he will judge those outside his kingdom. That one we must know. So to say that the government shall be upon his shoulders, he tells us that he will be the head of the church. He will rule and direct the church. And the church will do as the Lord pleases. The church will willingly submit under the authority of this king. The church will be guided by the word of God, not by words of men. The question is then, friends, where do you stand? Where do you find yourself in this kingdom of God? That is the question that each and every man needs to ask himself. Each and every woman and children need to ask this question. Where do you stand? Who do you submit to? Is Jesus your king? Do you listen to him? Do you live in his kingdom and bound by his kingdom rules? Oh, friends, he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness, from the garbage of sin, and put us on his marvelous kingdom. And now we wait for his coming. And when he comes, we shall see him face to face. Why will we see him face to face? Because we belong to his kingdom. He is our king. His kingdom is righteous, and we live a righteous life. Of course, our future was destined to destruction, but he came and saved us. And now we are the sons and the daughters of God. So in the midst of a hopeless nation, in the midst of a hopeless situation, when King Ahaz failed God and the people of God, when the nation laid in turmoil, when the threat of destruction was around them, when King Ahaz, the king of this world, was a puppet king and the puppet master was the king of Assyria, when the people of God needed leadership, which is true even today, when human kings failed God, Isaiah says another king is coming. He who is faithful and true. He who will be like a shepherd to his people. The one who will cause them to speak like the psalmist. Listen to Psalm 10 verse 11. The Lord is king forever. The nations will perish from his hands. Psalm 29:10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. Oh, friends, last one. Psalm 24 verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battles. That is our King. But secondly, I want us to look at his marvelous character, the marvelous character of the King. The Bible says in verse number 6 again, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The names of the Lord here, friends, they identify the character of the Lord. This is something to encourage God's people and leave them with great anticipation, looking forward to a mighty God, to an everlasting Father, looking forward to a Prince of Peace who has to come into the world, looking forward to a wonderful Counselor. On top of the list, is called Wonderful Counselor. And those who have learned, and they've learned more than me, they say the Hebrew word there for that wonderful in the text should actually alert us to the fact that something is being described that is beyond human capacity. So this child will be a divine counselor. He will counsel us with divine counsel, and he will instruct us with the wisdom of God. He will not instruct us on basis of what he will learn from a receipt book somewhere. So when you come to him, he will not give you 7 steps of being a good girl, but he will point you to God. He will point you to the cross. He will point you to salvation. He will give you God as your inheritance. So it reveals his character. He is wonderful in his works, friends. He is wonderful in his being. He is wonderful in the works of salvation. He is wonderful on his daily provision for us even today. He is wonderful in his patience towards us and our sinful habits, which are daily habits. He is wonderful in his love for us. A God who loves us even in our rebellion. A God who gives us his word to be our wonderful counselor. So if you are confused in this world, if you are confused in your marriage, you have to turn to this wonderful counselor. If you are confused by the life that is unfolding before you, you go to this wonderful counselor. You are confused, where will you spend your eternity? You come to the wonderful counselor. He will give you a divine counsel. If you are discouraged and you are low in spirit and you need strength, Jesus is your wonderful counselor. That is what God's people needed. They needed a wonderful counselor, not a worldly counselor. That is what we need even today. Today we need a wonderful counselor. When the kings of this world take advices from worthy kings who are power hungry and ready to kill and to destroy, we need a wonderful counselor. Jesus is your wonderful counselor. Secondly, he is called a mighty God. This is the type that separates the wheat from the chaff. This title clearly identifies Jesus as God, a mighty God, Are we not reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 1? Let's turn there. Let us turn there together. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Verse, as you read, verse 15 to 17. Read. Listen what he says about this mighty God. Jesus is revealed here, friends. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, an image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is a mighty God. All things hold together in him. He is before all things. The image of the invisible God. Move forward a little bit. Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews. Just two texts in Hebrews. Chapter number 1, verse 3. Listen very careful. Turn there. It's helpful that you turn so that you don't fall asleep. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to verse number 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Listen, friends, the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This God is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. That is the one who was to come. It gives us great joy knowing that we worship a Jesus or a God who is expressed in scripture in such a way. Listen to verse number 8, same chapter, chapter number 1. Verse 8, Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to what the writer says. But of the Son, he says, He's speaking about God, what God says about Jesus. Listen to what God says about Jesus. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. God seated in heaven. God in his fullness, in his triunity, looks at the Son. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ in his person, at his coming to this world. Your throne, O God. Not your throne, O my son. No, not this. Your throne, O God. God was to come into the world. The mighty God. John 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So God gives clarity about the child who was to come. Why would God give clarity? So that his people will have a high expectation of the one who was to come. So that his people will know that this time around they will be led by a superior king, they will be led by a superior being, they will be led by God himself. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, just listen carefully.
Chapter 3 verse 16.
Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Yes, the mystery of godliness that we confess. This Jesus, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. This Jesus, a mighty God. My brother, my sister, if you are in Christ, you are not lost. Hold on to the end, my friend. There is a bright future for you. A bright future beyond the grave. He is a mighty God. Deadly, he is called an everlasting Father. The coming King will be a Father without end. Unlike our human fathers, friends, who die and perish. If you have a father today and is alive, let me give you something that is sure. He will die. But there is an everlasting Father that we can depend on. He is no beginning and he has no end. His relationship with his people have no end. That is why he is an everlasting Father, an unending relationship. His people will live with him forever throughout eternity, calling him Father and Lord. This is the one the book of Revelation calls the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Friends, this is the Father who will work everything for the good of his children. The one the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 verse 8 refers to him that he is the same yesterday, today and forever. Perhaps sometimes you feel like an orphan. Perhaps your parents were never there for you although they are alive. This is your father. This is the only Father that can never fail you. An everlasting Father. Perhaps you have parents and they did and they continue to do everything that they can to make you happy. Maybe you are happy in this world.
Maybe you are not happy in the
You've got everything that you want. One day they will be gone. One day there will be no more. But even so, this King is your everlasting Father. He is able to guide and protect you and keep you. He is able to provide for you. He is able to hold you in the palm of his hand.
He
is able to hide you under the wing, under the shadow of his wing. There is no father like this Father. An everlasting Father. That is the one who has to come. God looks down the corridors of history. And he looks down forward. He looks forward. He looks at the nation. The nation does not only need a king, but they need a father, someone who will guide them. Someone who will provide for them. Fourthly, he's Prince of Peace. In the time of King Ahaz, the people of God did not have peace. The enemies were encamped around them. Men spent sleepless nights guarding over the walls. Women lived in fear, and their children, they were in fear. Judah was in conflict with Israel and Syria. And their king could not bring them peace. Maybe you don't have peace, it's been today. But this was the Prince of Peace, the owner of peace. Peace overflows through him. Peace comes from him and goes down to everyone who needs peace. What is this peace that the people needed? What is this peace that this Prince of Peace was to bring into this world? The removal of sin. Unity with God. Peace reigning within each and everyone's heart. A peace that surpasses all understanding. This peace meant the end of conflict and strife with God. The end of rebellion and disregard of God's word. Remember in the coming of Jesus, Luke chapter number 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those in whom he is pleased. Please notice the peace there in Luke chapter number 2 is unto those in whom he is pleased. It's unto those who believe the gospel of God. Friends, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that does not know peace. We live in the midst of physical wars and conflicts of every kind. There's teenage violence. There's crime, murder, persecution. Satan is active and is powerful. And even though we have Christ already, but peace is not completely attained, friends. Where the conflict continues, we ourselves continue to struggle with sin within our own hearts. We struggle and we wrestle against sinful nature. We continue to struggle with the effects of sin. Of course, there's a sense in which we already have peace. There is that sense in which we know we already have peace, but there is that conflict that continues to happen. What will be the solution? The coming King who was to come is still coming again, and he will give us peace that no one can take away. We await the Savior who will completely give us perfect peace at his return. Here is my closing encouragement to you, church. As Christians today, we live between the first and the coming of Jesus Christ. There is tribulation and suffering of various kinds in this world. And it will still be worse, my friends. We are a sin sick world. Human leadership have failed God and they've proven to be unreliable all the time. But friends, there is a sovereign king seated on his throne. A king who works all things according to his counsel, the counsel of his will. King Jesus reigns, friends. And he's coming to reign again. King Jesus is in control, friends. Even in the deeply troubling times we live in. Even in this time where it seems as though we are on a road to self-destruction as a country, or where you yourself are self-destructing, King Jesus is in control. King Jesus can turn things around, my friends. You can look around. There seems to be no hope. But there is hope. King Jesus gives hope. He is your wonderful counselor. With him you will never go wrong. He is your mighty God. You have nowhere else to go. In the midst of the present discouraging and in the midst of this distressful time, Jesus is your mighty God. All that you need to do is to lift up your eyes upon this mighty God. All that you need to do is to behold your God. He is your everlasting Father. So like a child, depend on him. Cry on him. Ask of him. Feel his love. Run to his lovely and amazing hands. He is your Prince of Peace. Because of sin, you were an enemy of God. But not anymore. No longer you are. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. You have peace surpassing all understanding. Of course, friends, we are concerned about our little lives and our little world that we live in. But do not let your concern turn into despair. Jesus is in control. Continue to wait with eager expectation for the coming King. Make sure you are found in his kingdom when he returns. And if you are in his kingdom right now, make sure you are a law-abiding citizen. And if you are not in his kingdom and you are not sure about your standing, you are not sure about your future, you need to ask yourself, where will you be when the trumpet shall sound? Will it be said to you, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord? Remember the song we just sang? You need to ask yourself this question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? But maybe you're asking, how can I do that? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Agree with God that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Agree with God that you need the cleansing blood of the cross in your life. Lift up your heart unto Him. Believe in Him. Call upon Him while He may still be found. And do not be shy. You can come and speak to the elders. You just have to be sure that you have the peace of God before you pass on from this world. Be sure He is your everlasting Father. He must be your everlasting Father through confession. Be sure He is your mighty God, and He must be your mighty God through the cross of Christ. The people of God were given this great expectation. A king coming to reign in righteousness. A king coming to reign in heavenly wisdom. And He's coming again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.